Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Truckers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Welcome back, folks, to the last hour of the September 16th edition of the Blood River Radio program. Brother Mark Tommy has now gone. We picked up Brother Gene Andrews, who will join us with some commentary in a moment or two. But without further delay, because I tell you, time flies on here, we're going to go straight back to Sister Monica. She had a couple of wrap-up comments about 9/11, and then we're going to go to Sister Nancy and kind of change gears a little bit. So go ahead, Sister Monica.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. I just have one more point about 9/11 that I want to bring into this. And of course, there are hundreds or thousands more things we could say about it. But there's this one I want to bring up because it does also tie in with Alfred. So we were talking about foreknowledge. And just one of the last things we talked about was those dancing Israelis. And that required foreknowledge for them to be there to document the event, as they stated on public television in Israel afterwards. Now, Larry Silverstein, we talked about him, Lucky Larry, but he was on film. He was talking to some folks 17 months before the event of 9/11, September 11th, 2001. 17 months earlier, he was gloating about how he already had the plans for the new World Trade Center. Huh, that's interesting, isn't it? Now, how does this relate to Alfred? Well, he had this two-minute clip of that very thing that I just described to you on the desktop of his big computer that was taken from his home during one of those police raids. See, he was raided, I don't know how many times by now, four times maybe, and they always steal equipment from him and whatnot. They also stole, in the first raid, they stole boxes full of this AE 9/11 truth materials that Alfred had always used to hand out to people. So that evidently is illegal too in Germany. But anyway, the computer. He got the computer back after, I don't know, a year and a half of them having it in their possession. Alfred was worried that they would have destroyed things and you know, tampered with the computer. Well, finally, when he reopened it to see what's the damage, right there on his desktop, very visible, and his desktop on his computer was not cluttered. He was very organized, but he kept things on his desktop that he still was using or needing, you know, in terms of wanting to incorporate in perhaps into his next educational video. There was that clip of Lucky Larry gloating about having the plans for the new World Trade Center 17 months before 9/11. There you go.
I love that.
That was just the last point I wanted to bring about 9/11. And then I think we should hand it over to Nancy to do your weekly tar and feathering, which I really enjoy. So go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, the tar and feathering, we try to do this every week. Now, this is a kind of a limited tar and feathering, but I'm saying that it should go to those unknowns who took out Russia's Nord Stream number 1 and number 2. They remain unknown, although I think many of the listeners probably know who did the job, and I think all of us on Blood River Radio have a pretty good idea who took out Nord Stream 1 and 2. And on the heroes list, we have a new one, a new political prisoner in Canada named Brad Love. And the other heroes I would like to recommend are those brave revisionists, past, present, and future. Those are the heroes that I would like to elevate today. And I think Monica would like to maybe explain something about what has happened to Brad Love. He's been newly imprisoned in Canada.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy. So Brad Love is somebody who, again, just like the other political prisoners that we have talked about quite a lot on this program, is in prison for words. Not mm-hmm. for doing any violent crime, but for words. Now, in Brad Love's case, this is very interesting. He is a prolific letter writer. He writes a lot of letters to politicians, and I do believe also to newspapers, but especially to politicians. And he has been told to cease and desist, because I guess these letters make them unhappy or something. But I thought that, you know, our elected representatives are there to represent us, and that we can tell them our beefs. And if it's in the form of a letter, isn't that the way they would like to hear it? I mean, they don't want us, you know, knocking down their doors and going in violently, right? But he wasn't doing that. He was writing letters. But right. I guess they felt really under fire from his letters. He was persistent with his letters. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they told him to cease and desist writing, but I guess he didn't cease and desist writing. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know too much detail. Maybe next week I can give more detail, or, you know, we should have Paul Fromm on, because, and I'll talk to Eddie about that.
Oh, that's he's connected with Paul Fromm, isn't he?
Well, Paul Fromm is really up on mm-hmm. all these things, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I think Paul Fromm, we should leave it to him to tell more details about this case. But I do know that Brad Love is now in the Edmonton Remand Center. So he is in jail in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, for writing letters to politicians. So I'll leave it at that.
I did send him a greeting card. I mean, I think we should always try to touch base with these people, let them know that we know that they're in prison, and that we, whatever we can do, we're going to try to do to let people become aware of their situation. If that's all we can do, that may be the only thing we are able to do. It's just
you want to give that to Miss Nancy if you have it handy.
Yeah, I could look it up, but I don't have it right here. I can look it up, but
okay. Yeah, sorry, me too. I haven't yet posted it on my political prisoners page, and I should do that. But until such time, I would say that on the cafe.com site, Paul Fromm would have it. It's the CAFE. That stands for Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression.com. I would think that his address is there for the Edmonton Remand Center.
Here's what I have. It is Brad Love, Edmonton Remand Center. It's a kind of a long number, 18415 127th Street Northwest, Edmonton, Alberta, T6V1B1. That's what I have. That's the address I used.
Okay. And like Monica said, if you didn't catch that, folks, and you want to send him a card or something, you can probably go to the CAFE.com website and more than likely get that information there. Isn't that correct, Monica? And one thing I'd like to mention, because Miss Nancy in her tire and feathering brought up the Nord Stream pipeline. Well, you know, that's one hit that the Russians have seemed to kindly, at least up to now, slide by. And they've also, the Ukrainians or ever who's, NATO, ever who you want to say, United States, Great Britain, they've also hit the Crimea Bridge two times.
Terrible.
And now, just this past week, I think Wednesday, reports are that they sent in cruise missiles and hit the naval port of the Russians in Crimea, where they destroyed and a warship and a submarine and a large part of the base.
Horrible.
And this, from what I understand, the reports, and I think this come from the Daily Wire, this is where the headquarters for the Russian Black Sea Naval Fleet is. And these missiles that were sent in were British missiles. Yeah, so, and I got a little bit more about that in a minute. If we have time, I'm going to go over this quickly. We've got to bring Brother Gene in. But also, Ukrainian commandos seized some Russian oil platforms that Russians had been in control of since 2015. So, you know, the question is, how much longer, and this is just a little report on what I call World War III, but how much longer are the Russians going to continue to seem to be so complacent with taking these licks like that by these people using British cruise missiles, drones, these Neptune missiles, which I think was really part of the old Soviet Union, but they've been upgraded. But the point is, they get the parts. They may be built in Ukraine, but they get the parts and the supplies from their Western allies. All this is just linking back to the West, the United States, Great Britain. But my question is, because, you know, the Russians said the last week or so, maybe three, some of the leadership, they said that they are going to take out decision-making centers. Well, where are these? Who's deciding where these? Who's deciding about these targets? Is it London? Is it Washington, D.C.? I don't know, but I bet the Russians know. But anyway, here's the D.C. We're going to our first break of the third hour. And when we come back, we'll have a little more commentary maybe on World War III. And we'll bring Brother Dean. And thank you, Monica, for going away. Thank you so much, Monica.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. This will allow us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday. 4 to 6 p.m.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
A bean, this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the second segment of the third hour of the Blood River Radio program for September 16th. We're going to go right back to Miss Monica just for a moment or two, and she's going to correct us on that website that I gave about getting letters or whatever to Brad Love in prison. We're going to go to her, and then we're going to go back to Miss Nancy for a second, and then we'll bring Brother Gene in. Go ahead, Miss Monica. And let me say this before you start. I've enjoyed having you on. I appreciate you. I always enjoy hearing what you have to say.
And after you go, we'll just talk to you soon. But go ahead with that whip.
Yeah, I'm going to be very brief and then sign out. Thanks so much. So I was saying cafe.com, like, but it's not true. That is going to get you something completely different. It's a longer name of a website. It's cafe.n as in November, F as in Foxtrot, S as in Sierra, host.com. You know what? This gives me the impetus, though, to get Brad Love's address on my website ASAP, and I will do that later today. And that's just freespeechmonica.com, and I will get that onto my political prisoners page on my website. So anyway, with that, I'm going to sign off, and thank you very much, Ran. You're doing a fantastic job of hosting this in Eddie's absence, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mark. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, Miss Nancy, I know you had a couple of comments about World War III. I think you was looking at a map or a globe. But anyway, go ahead.
Just a few comments. I'm looking at a globe, actually, of the world. And if people have a globe or they have a map, they could look at the territory of Russia. It's a very, very large country. Excuse me. A lot of it is totally unoccupied. A lot of it's in the Arctic Circle. Excuse me. What I was getting at is when you were talking about the Crimea being attacked, the bridge being attacked, this is some of their main ports onto what would be warm water of the Black Sea. I don't know how warm the Black Sea is, but it would give them access through the Straits of Istanbul to get out to Greece and Africa and Italy and various places. If you look at the other large bodies of water, for example, the Caspian Sea, it totally looks to be landlocked. All of the other bodies of water seem to be landlocked. So to them, these ports in Crimea are extremely valuable. This is much better than them trying to take ships across what would be frozen water through the Arctic Circle. So what we're doing is, again, we are trying to start this Third World War. The Russians have been very controlled. I think even there was recently a short on which Putin would say he doesn't want to use nuclear weapons, but I guess if he's forced to, he will be forced to use them. As any normal leader would do if his country was being attacked, we are just asking for, you know, my feeling is if Russia, which I don't even know if they have the ability to hit this country with nuclear weapons, probably from submarines, but I sure hope they keep it up north and not come down into these southern states. That's just all I care about.
Yeah, well, you know, absolutely.
I think you're right, Miss Nancy. I think that I think we can credit one man for there not already being a nuclear exchange, and that is Vladimir Putin.
Right.
I really believe.
Right. I agree.
Okay, Brother Gene, I don't know if you want to change.
No, that's fine. Continuing on that subject right there, I mean, the United States unfortunately has a long, long history of starting wars. And we always claim that we didn't, or they claim in D.C. that they didn't. But you look back at the history, I mean, the United States provoked a war with Mexico in 1846?
Yeah.
Supposedly another another false flag incident. Supposedly it was over a dispute of where the southern border of Texas was going to be, but really they wanted to go after California and Arizona. There are already rumors coming out of California about possible gold strike and the same thing, silver mines in Arizona, the silver deposits there. So that was just an excuse. Then, of course, Lincoln's one of the worst false flags is he, after the southern states left, he said that he needed a war and he needed this to provoke the South to fire the first shot. And that's what he did in Charleston at Fort Sumter. you know, took nearly 700,000 lives, or over 700,000 lives in that war. Then we turn around and declare war on Spain, another false flag issue about the battleship Maine, that now they've proven it blew up from the inside out. So how did Spain get inside our battleship and place an explosive charge in there that blew up from the inside out? The simple reason was we wanted to take all the colonies away from Spain. We were suckered into two wars in Europe in 1917 and 1941. And Roosevelt did everything, Frankie Roosevelt did everything he could to provoke a war with Germany, and that wouldn't work. So he had to get a backdoor war with Japan to get a war with Germany. And then now every time we something happens in the Middle East, we send our troops over there to fight in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Syria, Libya, and across North Africa. This country just cannot stay out of other people's business. And
you can say that
now
again.
We're getting involved with Russia and a proxy war with Russia. We're supplying all the equipment. And basically, this is what we were doing in World War II. We were supplying military equipment to Britain to fight against Germany, and we weren't in the war. Roosevelt was in violation of our Neutrality Act that Congress
had
passed. That
and
we weren't supposed to be
to Russia too. Yeah.
Absolutely, the same thing there, and it's just always this kind of a sneaky way that the Yankee Empire operates to try to provoke a war or get us involved in a war, and of course the people that do it, they're never going to be on the battlefield. They're going to let the young people, young men, go out there and fight the thing, and they sit back at home and make money off of it, regardless of whether we win or lose. So it's really frightening in what's going on now that we're spending ourselves into another horrible debt situation with all of our military equipment that we're supplying to Ukraine. And they're talking about, I saw them the other day on TV, about how inept our military is or will be if we have to go into a war, because most of our equipment has gone to Ukraine. And if we get in a war with China over their invasion of Taiwan, or North Korea doing something to South Korea, and we're supposed to step in and defend them, you know, we don't have anything to take over there. Excuse me. Except some kids' Red Ryder BB guns. So I don't know what they're thinking about in the Department of Defense and draining all of our military supplies. And I guess they think, well, better to fight a war there than over here on our shores. But with idiots that we have running this country now, the war may be coming to our shores. So,
well, you know, Brother Dean, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think there's two things that motivate these elites that are promoting this war, and they're on both sides of the aisle in the government, as we all know. Of the comments of Lindsey Graham, and recently Mitt Romney made some comments that was really war talk. I don't have them right on top of my head right now. But this is, and I've said this before, this is a perverted sexual revolutionary war. First and foremost, I believe that. Second is, if they can get regime change in Russia and get control, not only can they change the ideology, just like Zelensky did. The first thing he did when he took office in Ukraine was make a decree to have gay pride parades. Up until he took office, the other president didn't allow that. Well, the first Zelensky did. That was the first thing he did. Mm-hmm. They want to do the same thing in Russia. They want to push this perverted sexual revolution down everybody's throat, and right now they're working on Russia, and to boot, they get all those resources, all those assets, and everything else, then they can control. And that's what I think that really motivates them. But what the I hear the music. The question is, how much more will the Russians take up? That's the question.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to the bottom of the hour break. We'll go right back to Brother Andrew.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. The House Appropriations Committee is focusing on border security in the DHS appropriation bill. The spending measure emphasizes restarting border wall construction to address the southern border crisis. The bill allocates over $2 billion for wall construction and mandates completion within 120 days. A woman tragically fell to her death while attempting to climb a border fence with Mexico in California. The incident occurred Friday afternoon near the Otay Mesa port of entry in San Diego. Since 2019, the San Diego border has witnessed at least 16 fatal falls and over 400 reported injuries. The U.S. Border Patrol is currently investigating this incident. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has been cleared of all charges and will retain his office. State senators deliberated on 16 articles of impeachment, ultimately acquitting him. Here's Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
This judgment will be filed with the Secretary of State and Attorney General Warren Kenneth Paxton Jr. is hereby, at this moment, reinstated to office.
To remove Paxton from office, he would have needed to have been convicted on just one of the articles. The accusations revolved around alleged misuse of his office to assist a political donor. Negotiations have resumed between United Auto Workers and two of the big three automakers.
Roughly 13,000 workers have walked off the job at manufacturing plants in several states after a deal was not reached by Thursday night's deadline. This worker is among those on strike.
I think we deserve more pay. I've been here 24 years and ain't had a raise in 8 years.
General Motors CEO Mary Barra tells CBS that UAW's demands are not sustainable.
We have to make sure the company's going to succeed for the next 115 years.
President Biden says auto workers deserve fair wages and benefits.
The bottom line is that auto workers help create America's middle class.
Two White House advisors are in Detroit to try and bring both sides to a new contract agreement. I'm Jeremy Scott.
This is USA News.
Meet Joe A,
hi.
Joe B,
hello.
And Joe C.
What's up?
Three everyday Joes perfecting their banking with Chase. Joe A is locking his lost debit card with the Chase mobile app. Joe B is cruising toward his new ride with AutoSave. And Joe C's Chase banker is helping him budget to go back to school. Tools that help protect. Support for what's next. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Messaging and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means... Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match, only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
Okay, welcome back. Beginning the third segment of the last hour of the Blood River Radio program. We're just going to have just a couple of wrap-up comments about World War III. And the question is, how much more do the Russians take? I think that they're sooner or later going to do something. They're going to be forced into doing something that's going to be jaw-dropping. It's going to shock people all over the world. And they more or less are going to say, okay, there we go. Who else wants some of it? I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be an attack on the British Isles. I'm not a prophet. I'm not trying to be a prophet. But they're not going to just keep taking this laying down, so to speak. But anyway, unless y'all have another comment on World War III, Miss Nancy, I know you got some stuff you want to talk about local events in Louisville.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up something that's probably happening all over the country, especially in urban areas. And of course, Louisville being the largest city and having the largest number of students, who we give them the great opportunity to be bused all over the city from one end to the other. You know, I have to laugh and say the students are guaranteed now a free breakfast and a free lunch, no matter what their economic standards are, whether they can afford it or not. So, you know, they spend probably at least an hour a day with eating. Then they're on the buses, who knows how many hours, transported back and forth from one depot to another. The very first day that school started here, some of the poor kids didn't get home until 10 o'clock. And then they had to decide that the new system that Marty Polio, who oversees the Jefferson County school system and makes over $300,000 a year, that he had created this new program where kids were being picked up at different times and dropped off at different times, and because they say there's a shortage of bus drivers. And I'm going to explain to you why there's a shortage of bus drivers, which they don't admit. But here's what has happened. The first day of school, I told you the children arrived home. Some of them arrived home at 10 o'clock. So that delayed the starting of school for several days. They decided they need to work out the kinks on the busing plan. Well, I think one of the first days that they got back to school, there were four bus crashes the very first day. I don't think there were any major injuries. Now, listen to this. They've had this has just happened this week. They've had an incident where adults got onto the bus. Now, I'm sure that they were, I would say 99% of the, my opinion, they've got to be black adults that probably came on raising hell on the bus, and one of the students pepper sprayed another student. Of course, why do they have pepper spray? Why are the kids carrying pepper spray? Then there was an adult that got onto a bus, there was some kind of fight that took place on a bus in the West End where they were getting ready to let these kids off. They were fighting on the bus, and when they got off the bus, the fight continued. It's on a video. And next thing you know, one adult and a student were shot. We don't know if it was an adult that shot them or a student on the bus was shooting at these people. Anyway, they found a gun in a backpack and knives and all this. Then they've got a shortage of bus drivers, but three of them quit in one day because of these adults who had gotten onto the buses. And the reason they do that is because they're blacks raising hell with the bus drivers. And who could blame these bus drivers, many of them women, who are scared of these black parents who are intimidating them? So this is where, this is just a little thumbprint of one city that is fighting and not facing up to the fact that all of this crime is all new. We didn't have it when I was growing up. There was no such a thing as shooting on buses and fighting on buses. Never heard of such a thing. Well, even the driver's union is saying, oh, well, this is relatively new and this is something that they can't control. Part of it is the failure of the school system to have monitors on the bus. The bus driver cannot be totally distracted while he's driving to break up a fight that's going on while he is driving. He needs a monitor. So anyway, this is just, I'm sure that this is not unusual. It's probably taking place in all big cities. This is Louisville 2023.
I'm sure it's all big. And there's one common denominator that nobody wants to talk about that are causing these kind of acts and events like this, and that's the blacks.
But nobody
wants to talk about it. They want to fix everything by tearing down monuments and erasing our white history. But go ahead, Brother Gene.
No, Nancy's correct that there are other cities. The same thing has happened in Nashville. The forced integration of the schools has absolutely destroyed the public school system in Nashville. When they came along with that back in the 70s, it started this idiotic busing nonsense. The white students and the white parents just left the school system. They started a lot of private schools. They took their students out and put them in private schools that were already in existence or in the Catholic schools. And who can blame them? Nobody wants to be attacked on a bus riding to school. Nobody wants to be attacked and have your lunch money taken away from you at school. No one wants to be have a black gang come after you and beat you up. And the girls are just as bad fighting as the boys are. And why do you want to subject your children to a situation like that? The parents that really care about their students are going to do anything they can to get them out of that situation. And it's so ridiculous that the idiots in politics and these federal judges keep thinking that you can do the same thing over and over and over again, and you're going to get a different result. Isn't that the definition of insanity, that you do the same thing over and over and you think something different is going to happen? They can't do it. They can't get their act together. They can't admit a mistake, and they won't admit a mistake, because if they do, they're going to have to come down hard on their constituents that put them in office. And the people in the inner cities that vote for these clowns as the school board directors or whatever title they have, they're not going to get them upset with them, because they're the ones that vote them into office. So basically what they've done, we've gone back to a segregated school system, that we have a free public school system for the troublemakers, the fighters, the terrorists, basically is what they are. And it's just glorified babysitting. They're not going to put out any effort to learn anything in class. If a few of them do try, they get harassed by the other blacks and accused of trying to act white, which some kind of a horrible stigma to be thrown against you. If you act like you're intelligent and that you're trying to learn something and you want to be better than just a thug on the street corner, that's not the way to do it. So it's like you said, in Louisville, they're having trouble getting bus drivers. They advertise on TV here how many drivers they're short, and having to run multiple routes and stagger the school time so they can get one group in early and then one group comes in later in the day, just so they have enough buses to haul them around. And the thing is, then, why do we need that many buses to begin with? Why can't we go back to the smaller neighborhood schools? And I know they probably did this in Louisville as well, but in Nashville, they built these huge monster-sized schools and destroyed these neighborhood schools. And when you had neighborhood schools, you had pride in your neighborhood. You knew the people that were going there. When I was going to grade school and even in high school, it came from one certain area of town, and I knew most of those people. And there was never a situation where somebody was going to bring a gun to school. I mean, these are people you grew up with. You played Little League baseball with. You went riding bicycles with them. You did all that together. Why in the world would you bring a gun to people that were your neighbors and your friends to threaten them or shoot them? But when they got rid of the smaller school areas and built these huge comprehensive high schools, I couldn't think of the name of it, these monster schools that brought people in from huge areas in different parts of town. And in Nashville, they even bragged about making the school districts in a pie shape, that it would run from way, way out in the county all the way down into the inner city and then back out to the county again, to force this integration, which has been nothing but a disaster. And they'll never admit it, that it is a disaster.
But you know, Brother Gene, white people don't allow their children to be in disrupted classrooms, fights on buses, neighborhood schools. If you don't allow that, you're racist.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought mass was racist.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, If those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles and the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the last segment of the third hour, the final hour of the Blood River Radio program for September 16th. And we're just going to, it's just so much to talk about, so little time. We're not going to get it all covered as that happens every week. But anyway, we're going to go straight back to Miss Nancy, and she's going to change gears a little bit and go over some interesting things about dear Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, beloved Abe. Yeah, honest Abe, of course. No, I'll just make a short comment. I went to a meeting today, and the topic was Lincoln born in Hodgensville or some other place? Now, see, I misunderstood this because my feeling is that Lincoln was not born in Kentucky. But anyway, their argument was, or this lady's argument, which she had written a very, I'm sure, a fine book about his youth and where he was born. And her idea was that he was born in Beachland. It's an area in Washington County that would be not in LaRue County, where apparently Lincoln said he was born in LaRue County. And they have a fabricated cabin that everybody visits, and it's not the real cabin he was born in. And they have this gigantic building that I remember going to when I was just a kid to see it. But anyway, I really thought she was going to talk about the real Abe Lincoln was born in another state, because here's what I understood. Nancy Hanks, his mother, was, there's no doubt, this lady would disagree with me. She said that that Nancy Hanks was born to Lucy Hanks, and Lucy Hanks was married to someone named Shipley. Well, I contend that is really not the case, that Nancy Hanks was illegitimate and her brother was illegitimate, and Lucy Hanks was known as a what you would call a loose woman, and Nancy Hanks worked in a home that was owned by a man named Enlow. And if you look at a picture of Enlow, and I don't remember his first name, you could see a similarity with what Abraham Lincoln looked like. Abraham Lincoln was almost a foot taller than the average man. The average man was only about 5'5" back in the 1860s. And I also contend that, this is my theory, that Abraham Lincoln had Marfan's disease, and you can look that up. It's the victims of Marfan's disease generally have very elongated legs and arms. And all you have to do is look at a picture of Abraham Lincoln and compare him with the normal size men, and you will see that he's about a foot taller than everyone else. Now, that's just my theory, and I think other people have written about this. It's not that I just made it up out of, my mind just created Enlow, but that's just my take on it. That this woman would disagree, and, they said they'd done DNA somewhere somebody had done DNA research, I guess proving that Thomas Lincoln was the father of Abraham Lincoln. Of course, apparently Thomas Lincoln had plenty of girlfriends and had children by other women. So anyway, I know Abraham Lincoln disliked his father, probably with good reason. But that's just a side, you know, historical comment that, like I say, this lady who had done the research probably, but it certainly didn't agree with me on what my opinion. Of course, I'm not an advocate of Lincoln. I dislike him intensely. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I guess we'll go back to someone we love, Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Well, I've read that account also about Lincoln.
Oh, have you?
Being illegitimate and being born in North Carolina, and they had to get out of town and wound up on the frontier in Kentucky to, you know, took off across the mountains. That's where a lot of people in Tennessee came from in the early days. They took off across the mountains from North Carolina to escape and wound up in Tennessee. I think that's outlaws that ran over the mountains from North Carolina, I think they're directly related to a lot of the politicians we have in the State House in Nashville now. So it's why we have so many problems in our state government, and our governor trying to ram through his red flag laws that didn't work back in August. They had all that nonsense going on. But anyway, it's amazing how these myths and these great heroes are built up. My comment about Lincoln has always been, he's the only president or ruler of a country that was victorious in a war that was executed for war crimes. And the story behind that is that Mr. Booth had a girlfriend who had, and I'll have to go back and research this, and I'm sure our fact checker Rich can get us all the names for it. But Mr. Booth had a girlfriend, and her brother was in the Confederate Army, and he was captured by the U.S. soldiers, and they accused him of being a spy and had sentenced him to death. And they made an appeal to Lincoln, who was president, to commute the sentence that he was not a spy, and Lincoln turned it down, and they executed this boy, and they hung him. And Mr. Booth's girlfriend was so upset that her brother had been murdered by the U.S. troops, which happened every year in almost every state where the U.S. Army was, the Northern Army was during the war. They just pick people out at random and execute them just for the heck of it. That Mr. Booth was so upset that, and he was planning to first capture Lincoln and hold him for ransom, and then decided that they were just going to take out him and part of his cabinet members. So I thought it was kind of ironic that the only person I know of on the winning side in a war that was executed for war crimes. Because usually after one side wins...
He should have been.
Well, he should have been, of course. Unfortunately, it should have been 4 years earlier than that. But,
oh, right.
history being what it is, usually in a war, the winning side goes out and rounds up people from the losing side and has them executed as war criminals. They drum up charges.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
False confessions and all sorts of nonsense. And so they can thump their chests and say, see, we're the good guys. We're the good guys. And these were bad guys over there. And the situation, of course, after our war for independence was they took the commandant of the Andersonville prison camp, Major Wirtz, that was down there in Georgia, and drug him off up to Washington and had a show trial, and they just wanted to execute somebody. It would have been, they were, a lot of the people in Lincoln's cabinet saying they should have executed Jefferson Davis and Robert E. Lee and all the Confederate leaders. They wanted to do that.
They
were afraid that would start off a second war right there. No, go ahead.
If I'm not mistaken, one of Robert E. Lee's daughters had a boyfriend who was executed by the Yankees.
Yeah.
I think he was executed as a spy. One of Robert E. Lee's daughters' boyfriends. Yeah, I can't remember his name. I don't think it was Stringfellow. But she
That was very common practice. I mean, they did it all the time. The boy hero of the Confederacy, Sam Davis, right here in Tennessee.
Right.
was a Confederate wearing a Confederate uniform, was captured by the federal soldiers down there near Pulaski, Tennessee. And they knew he wasn't a spy. He was a messenger. He was carrying information. And they wanted to find out who was head of the Coleman Scouts. It was sort of like
Green
Beret or Navy SEALs, special ops unit that was operating behind federal lines. And they never could catch, had a very hard time trying to catch him. And they wanted to find out who was the leader of it. And so Grenville Dodge was the Union officer there in Pulaski. And he told Sam Davis that if you don't tell us who's giving you this information, we're gonna hang you. Mm-hmm. And Sam Davis told him he wouldn't do it. And so they threw him in jail for 3 days to let him think about it. And then on the third day, they took him out to the gallows right outside of Pulaski there and marched him up to the platform and put the rope around his neck. And a rider came up and said, well, we're going to give him one more chance. And that's where he gave his famous quote, his last quote. It said, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all before I would betray my country or the confidence of a friend. And they murdered him. They hung him. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing with Major Wirtz down there. He wasn't trying to duck out or hide or anything that happened at Andersonville Prison. He kept records, very detailed records, of the Union soldiers that died there, where they were buried, what their name was. So after the war, if the families wanted to come get the body, they could do that. So then they found out how horrible the conditions were in the prison, that these men were starving. Well, heck, the whole South was starving. The federal armies had destroyed so much farmland and the railroad systems, and they couldn't get food from one part of the country to the other. And they just talked about how terrible things were in Andersonville. Well, whose fault was that? Well, it was Lincoln's fault. Lincoln stopped the prisoner exchange.
That's right.
And up until the last year of the war, they would say, okay, we've got 100, you've got 100, we'll swap them. And they even had a scale that you could swap so many enlisted men for a lieutenant, so many for a captain, so many for a major, and on up and down like that. And they would just exchange prisoners. Well, Lincoln said that the Northern soldiers that were exchanged wouldn't go back and fight, and the Confederates would. So he stopped the prisoner exchange. So
you know what happened too, because I followed quite a bit about Wirtz. You know that there was so many interesting things happened. I have met his relatives. And
yes.
They've come from Switzerland several times. But at any rate, what I was getting at is the Union, there was fighting that was going on among the prisoners, and they actually, he allowed them to go ahead and execute some of their own men. They executed their own men within the prison.
A group,
and then some
group
of
called
them
the Raiders.
Wanted to
they
go,
were the ones that were robbing from their own prisoners. Yeah, go ahead. That's right.
They
you're right.
There were some men that volunteered to go to Washington, D.C., and Wirtz let them go to beg to have these. In fact, they were going to be freed. They were asking if the prisoners of war could be freed. And without reciprocity, they were not going to ask for anything else other than just to be freed. And these men had the honor, at least three of them, I think, to come back to the damn prison. And, of course, nothing was done. The Yankees would not free these men, their own men. They wouldn't free their own men.
Oh, no. And the Confederates even said, look, you've captured Jacksonville. That was the closest major city to South Georgia. You've captured Jacksonville. Why can't you send supplies, food and medical supplies over there and let the Sanitary Commission, which was the forerunner of the Red Cross, let the Sanitary Commission come with it so you make sure that we don't take it and it goes to your prisoners? Lincoln wouldn't do that because he said, you know, whatever food they're feeding them, that's food that Southern civilians and Southern soldiers can't get. And then the war's over and it's horrible.
I hear the music, y'all. We've come to the end of the day's program. I just want to take a quick moment to thank you, Mark Comey. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sister Monica. Thank you, Sister Nancy. Thank you, Brother Gene. Brother Gene, I apologize that we didn't get you in quite as much time as we hoped. But,
Nancy and Monica always do a great job.
But I appreciate you all. And y'all all have a good evening. Thanks to our listeners. We'll see y'all next week, folks.